Gary Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us here in just a moment. Got a blank chair in the middle, noodles. That means he's cooking something.
And you're eating. Or he's putting eating a tie on.
Yeah, he could be doing that. He's got, maybe he's got that's hockey going on tonight. There he is, right in the middle.
There he is.
He's late. Late on arrival. Noodles.
It's my fault. I apologize.
What are you making? You're cooking something. You're doing something.
I was warming up Stella's brisket, and I'm late. That's why. I apologize because I...
Why can't Stella warm up the brisket? I don't understand.
I went out. What happens is you lose track of time. You guys know this.
Yep.
You get out there, you start grazing, you start talking to people. Steph was like, hey, how are things going? And I'm like, might want to go back and listen to Bobby Webster, see how that went. And we were having some fun. Like,
that
it was
one
just
song.
Like, yeah, but at the end of the day,
you two, here's the reality brisket that I have learned over 8 months of doing shows at home. You guys have full meals during the show. Like, I know when you guys are feeding, and I don't know how you do it. Like, I
honestly, buddy, I'll scarf down something in a commercial. I will never, that's it. And it's early, and it's done with.
I don't eat while you guys are talking.
I'm not saying while we're on the air, but like at 5:30, you have like a full plate, like a dinner.
Yeah, a dinner.
Here's my routine.
Why can't we wait till 7 o'clock? That's what we do usually. I mean,
First off, it's none of your business. I'll be the second guy to tell you off today. Not everyone's. Everyone's got a different program.
Okay, well, I don't like your program.
My plate sits at 5 or 4 o'clock in the microwave. First break, heat it up, bring it back. Second break, it's gone. That's it. That's the end of the eating.
No, I like to graze. That's what it is. Like at 4 o'clock, I usually.
But
have
Jamie, the question is: the nanny's heating up the brisket. How come? Like, what's Steph? Did both of her arms break?
No, she was dealing with the kids. We had kids shoveling the walk. Like, it's just been a busy thing going on around here. That's why I came into the office and I went out and got into a conversation, and then I looked up and I'm like, I think I'm late. But I grabbed the bowl out of the microwave anyways and made my way in. And as I came in, I could see the Overdrive logo coming up. I'm like, uh-oh, I'm late.
Yeah,
so it
happens.
I'll put some money in the fine jar, and we'll move forward. Put it
yes,
that way.
Yes, we will. All right.
And we'll leave
Bill
it there.
Mann coming up in about 35 minutes.
We'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. That's a drop for the rest of time. I'm so curious now to know if Webster just hung up because he was done.
I don't think he has a general interest in, like, not that he dislikes us, but I don't really think that he cares too much. I don't think any of the GMs in Toronto really care about coming on the show. They do it as kind of a... It's a standard thing. It's like a couple times a year you got to do it. And I think Bobby was like, all right, see you later. And there just wasn't really much beating around the bush afterwards, like a little goodbye or whatever. He's like, I'm done with this and goodbye. I don't think you pissed him off.
No, I think he just was making the rounds because he that's what you have to do. But yeah, I think Kyle Dubas enjoys coming on.
I don't know if anyone.
I don't think he does.
Enjoys
it's
coming
just
on.
Yeah, it's just the thing you got to do. It's like what?
Yeah.
They're
enough,
busy
yeah.
enough dealing with all kinds of nonsense from all different angles. The last thing they want to do is act like they're interested in our program because they're not.
Well, in this time of year, it's not a difficult interview generally. I mean, I asked a couple of questions that maybe. Maybe he didn't like, and that's fine.
Any off season for any GM is the Coors Light slow pitch.
Exactly.
Event.
Generally, like, it is. Hey, we're all back together. How's everything going down there? It's not like if you lose, if you win 20 games and your team's terrible, you probably don't want to do that interview. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Ray always loves doing this show. That's the one guy we can count on. Always happy to be on.
I do, but I'm just thinking of these GMs, and then I'm thinking of Owen Noodles. Like, if you two guys didn't have to come on with Brian, like, would you be thrilled about it?
Why would I be the guy that would bother everybody?
Well, see, I think that's what the GMs are really worried about. They're like, yeah, Noodles and O, they played. They're good guys. This Hayes guy, I'm a little nervous about him.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Larry
because we've had, I mean, generally speaking, we have pretty, decent relationships with the members of the sporting community in the city.
Ray, listen to this. This is how the interview ended with Bobby Webster, the Raptors GM, JP.
And we'll leave it there.
No.
Well, it was longer than that, but it was...
You had the whole thing. Yeah, it was like Hayes was talking to the guy, and the guy gave him absolute ninja dust, and it was so awkward. JP, if you have the whole thing, play the whole thing, not just the end.
All right, okay. We'll find it. We'll get back to it. JP's scrambling over there, but we'll have it. Yeah. It was, you know, it was one of those... We asked him a
couple
questions
on the court.
Okay, I don't know what's going on, JP, there, but we'll just hold off, yeah. Buddy. Oh, we'll throw it to him when we're ready to throw it to him.
Well,
now
what's
it's a gone
happen
show.
Here is we're gonna. This is like Hayes when my phone has a crappy connection.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, Mount Hayes is going to blow up.
Here. Yeah. Well,
just forget about it. Just forget about it,
yeah,
JP.
Yeah, let's stop throwing things because it's already we're off the rails to begin with. But take our word for it. It got a little bit awkward, and maybe it was just that he had enough. Maybe it was a phone connection issue. Maybe he didn't like my line of questioning or the fact that I said when you're down in Tampa, like, do us a favor and don't talk about how great the weather is on a daily basis, you know, because we're up here in Toronto suffering a snowstorm.
Right.
People just don't want to hear it. I don't think that was unreasonable, but
no,
maybe
it was.
Maybe Bobby will – maybe we'll be blacklisted and we won't be – he won't be on a show ever again. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll be fine. I think
we'll be all right. I think everything will be all good. Did you see Pierre LeBrun's article in The Athletic polling the different executives and scouts and coaches about the Canadian division? And there was a lot of praise for the Leafs. You know, the Leafs got 9 of the 15 votes for first overall, if that's the way it's going to play out with an all-Canadian division. Mm-hmm. Then beyond that, it was scattered. Ottawa was dead last on all 15 ballots, but... there was a lot of variety in terms of the outcome, and I think that probably follows suit with what we're all thinking right now, like a complete crapshoot.
I think Toronto's the best team. I think they're the most dangerous team. I think Montreal had the best off season, and I think I would have never had Montreal up near the top of the 7 teams a year ago, but I do now. I think Calgary can be really good. Markstrom's going to make a big difference there. I have them slightly ahead of Edmonton, and I don't even know that I really like that pick. Winnipeg, I still don't know what they're all going to come together like on the blue line, and you know, can Hellebuck replicate that incredible year that he had? I think Vancouver's in the middle of Calgary, Edmonton, better than Winnipeg, kind of in there. But I didn't love Vancouver's offseason, actually. I think they went backwards. And then you got Ottawa, who are, you know, they're just some time away yet.
Yeah. I to be honest, guys, I had Winnipeg as one because I think they are exactly Toronto with a better goalie. That's, you know, Hellebuck's the arguably the best goalie in the league. And they're both Ds are... you know, kind of, you know, there. And then the forwards are deep, both sides. And it's a crapshoot. Like, Winnipeg has 5, like, really good players up top, and I think the Leafs have 4.
It's interesting that you say that because, you know, I don't necessarily disagree. I think the Leafs' defense has improved more, and I think Winnipeg's defense still scares me a little bit. And
yeah, you're right.
Hellebuck was so good last year. You know, can he replicate that? If he takes a half step back, I think they could be in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
But the, you know, who Pierre was pulling, and again, I don't know who it is, coaches, scouts,
right,
management
right.
types, but they, a lot of them were not very friendly to Winnipeg, which I was surprised by.
Which is weird because, like, I and this is no slight on Toronto because Toronto should be right at the top, like, right there. I'm just saying, like, when I look at skill, you could argue that the top 6 for Winnipeg are the deepest in Canada because with the addition of Stastny, and then you've got Connor, Scheifele, Wheeler, Ehlers, and Laine. And then, you know, the defensive core, I like, people don't realize, like, Pionk had 45 points last year. He's a pretty good player. And, you know, you got DeMello, who's like a Muzzin type of player, and then Morrissey would be, you know, a poor version of Riley. I still think they need another guy there, don't get me wrong, but Hellebuck is the tiebreaker for me, where the Leafs were 26th, I think, in the National Hockey League last year in defense, and Hellebuck was the difference maker. I think the Leafs have a little bit more to give, and that's why I want to give them the love and that they'll be there. But I think Winnipeg's right there, too, as far as depth when you're just looking on paper.
Noodles, where I don't quite get to the same in the top six is that I don't know what Paul Stastny is anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't see him as a 70-point guy. I see him more as a 50-point guy.
And that would 20-30. Yeah, 20-30.
Yeah, something in there. And, you know, line A will be a wild card. Like, who? I don't really know what to expect from him given.
Who knows where his headspace is at?
Right. That's exactly where I'm going, with all the chat around him. Mm-hmm. And is he already thinking of something else? Or is he saying, damn it, I want to be here and I'm going to score the 40 goals at the 40 goal rate that I should? I think Toronto is every bit as good up front. Their top end, I think, I think has the potential to beat Winnipeg's. But at the blue line, I think Toronto's got more options to what Winnipeg would have. Like, even just naming those D, they're all kind of a half a step behind what Toronto has, and that's just three of them there.
Right.
In Winnipeg, and then a whole bunch of question marks and young guys. Like, can Dylan Sandberg make the team and make a difference? Like, they got a lot of question marks on their blue line that drag them down for me.
Yeah, for me, the difference clearly is in net. I mean, Hellebuck is a Vezina winner. He's an outstanding talent, and he clearly is a better goaltender than Freddie Anderson. So that if he plays lights out, then anything is possible. But right. I agree. I think the Leafs on paper are better than Winnipeg. I think on paper I'd have them as the most talented team in the country, but I probably would have had that last year, and that didn't mean much.
But that's where I'm. Like, I think it's a drop off. Like, I know Thornton and Spezza are there, but if this was 10 years ago, it's a lot different. Like, that's where, like, their left side is a giant question mark for me.
Right.
Giant.
But it probably was last year, too. I mean, Janssen, he gave you a little bit more confidence,
you're right,
but not much more.
No, I just, that's why I think they mirror each other a lot. Like, it's, you know, Nikolaj Ehlers is exactly the same player as Nylander. Exactly. Like, almost career stats, exactly. Like, one was drafted eighth, the other one was drafted ninth. They're both really high risk. Like, you know, you want more out of them, but they kind of get the same amount of points. Line A is the wild card for me. You know, Scheifele's a great player. Wheeler's a great player. Kyle Connor's a 40-goal scorer plus. Like, they're deep. Like, I don't think
Connor's
people realize
really
how,
good.
I don't think people realize how deep they are.
I did 10 other games last year, Noodles. Yep. You know, so you know how it is. You're sitting there and you're watching them live, and I'm like, damn, Kyle Connor is really good. Yeah. He's the 18th pick in his draft year, and he does everything for them. Kills penalties, plays on their top line, plays on their power play. Like, he is good. He's a really good player.
But that being said, like, I can certainly see the argument for the Leafs, but then I could see the argument for Calgary with Markstrom. Like, you know, this guy stole games last year in Vancouver. He's going to probably do that in Calgary, so that's going to get them three or four or five extra wins. Edmonton, you don't think McDavid's going to be fired up? Like, Hayes, you've said that.
Yeah, he will. I think he's probably going to win the Hart, but I guess reading through everything that Pierre posted up on The Athletic, just based on, you know, canvassing other opinions throughout the league, I found myself agreeing on a lot of the different comments that I thought Vancouver did take a step back. They had a bad offseason, you know, to just be blunt. They had a bad offseason, and Edmonton just kind of stayed the same, you know, like, especially
Edmonton's
in net.
Edmonton's 1 year away from being able to make significant change.
Right.
Like, in their cap spot. They're trying to shuffle deck chairs around and, you know, and squeeze a little bit of lemon out offensively for another year. And then if they can, you know, if they get to next summer or whatever the off season's going to be, then they're probably in a better position to make some significant changes.
Go ahead, O.
I find it crazy through all this talk about the Canadian teams how a team with the best player in the world and basically a guy who might be the third best player in the world just they're not picked to do anything. It's crazy. I find it crazy. It's like they're not there's zero expectations from a team with two of the best players in the world on it. Where usually it's like cup or bust.
But I think that I think they're better than people are going to give them credit for because everyone's
How long
at
many
Mike
more
Smith?
Years are we going to keep saying that, Jamie? It's like, they're going to they got McDavid, they got Draisaitl, they're going to it's the same thing. It's like, okay, they got those guys, but they ultimately one of them wins a Hart Trophy, but they don't do anything.
But what I'm saying is people are pointing to Mike Smith. Mike Smith will be your backup. Koskinen will be their guy, who statistically was a top 10 goaltender last year. So what I was going to say is the shortened season, I think, will benefit them because they don't have to play Mike Smith a bunch of games. So
but
that's where
their weak spots to jump on that, Noodles, their weak spots won't get exposed, not just in goal, but they won't get exposed as much in a shorter year.
Right.
That's probably is to their benefit.
And Ray, we brought up last hour, and guys, you chime in. Like, Ottawa is going to be a tough out. Like, they're going to steal points off of teams because of a shortened season. You know, Edmonton goes in there for three nights. Like, they're going to lose a game or maybe two.
Are you a Matt Murray guy?
Not yet.
I'm iffy still.
I'm not yet because I've said this before. He still has to learn to be an everyday starter in the regular season. He's proven. He's got two cups, but he also had a safety blanket on the bench in Marc-Andre Fleury. Fleury's not there anymore. You've got a lot different team in Ottawa, but he's only 26 years old. That's the difference. And Ottawa got better. I still think it's a cut above. I think Toronto is a really good team. I think Winnipeg doesn't get enough credit. That's why I think Winnipeg out west is the mirrors Toronto. And I think Edmonton, with the tourists and Puljujärvi, and I know Barry's not loved around here, but like I think Barry's going to help them. He may find a better fit in Edmonton than he did in Toronto. Like I don't think
it can't get worse. Better for his case. We've all been in agreement for a couple of months here. Ottawa is seventh. Yeah. But beyond that, but at some point, there's going to be two teams that missed that didn't want to, or didn't think they were going to, and it's going to happen. So, at this point, we're just making projections, and at some point, hopefully, they're going to play, and they will determine this on the ice. But I am having a difficult time figuring out which two teams I think are going to miss. It's interesting when you consider where we were 2 months ago, when we were still in the bubble or coming out of the bubble, and it seemed like a majority of people in the country thought Vancouver was the best team. Because they went the deepest and they had a good run, and they did. But as of now, I'm not sure Vancouver makes it. Like, if it's an all-Canadian division, I'm not sure they are in the top four based on their offseason.
I don't see it. I mean, they've got a lot of things that have to go right for them. They don't, by losing Toffoli, they don't really have a top six. It looks like Jake Virtanen's going to get that first opportunity with Pettersson. They have to hope for a rebound for Besser. JT Miller had by miles his best season. Yeah. Like, he was a horse for them last year. And is Tanner Pearson a top six guy, or is he more of a third line guy? And so all of a sudden you go, maybe they just were the benefit of brilliant goaltending and a really fine stretch of play for that run in the playoffs, but can they do that over an expanded period of time? Thatcher Demko is not going to stop the puck 96% of the time.
No.
Not going to happen. And that's one of their key factors when they were winning in the playoffs was Markstrom till he got hurt, and then Demko was just fabulous. You're not getting that goaltending all the time. It just doesn't, the numbers aren't there.
Yep. Exactly. And I hope it's a close race for all these teams. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Three teams, if you include Ottawa, if we all believe that that's going to be the case. Right. Three of them are likely on the outside looking in. And if it's the top four, one plays four, two plays three, the beauty of it is we're going to have two all-Canadian matchups for playoff rounds. And there's a lot of possibilities there in terms of maybe the Leafs playing the Habs, maybe Calgary playing Edmonton. It could be outstanding. We'll leave it there, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you then, boys. Have a good one.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Experience the low-maintenance cost of driving a self-charging hybrid electric from Maple Toyota. purchase in person or online at MapleToyota.com. Make the switch. Drive a hybrid.
I think you just said we'll leave it there, pal.
That's my go-to now.